Now we turn to today's main feature, which is Czech history. We look at the development of Czech-American relations over the past two decades. Ever since the fall of the Iron Curtain, they've been the pivot of Czech foreign policy. But after the euphoria of the Velvet Revolution and the era of Washington's fascination with Václav Havel, these relations today are like a 20-year-old marriage, with no sex, at least according to some current and former diplomats who appeared in last Friday's debate hosted by the foreign ministry. Jan Richter reports.
Last week was rich in events highlighting Czech-American relations. First, a statue of U.S. President Woodrow Wilson was re-erected outside Prague's main train station, 70 years after it was destroyed by the Nazis. Then on Friday, it was announced that Prime Minister Petr Nečas would meet President Barack Obama in the White House later this month. But that's nothing compared to the days before and after the fall of communism in 1989, when history was made, and Czechoslovakia's new president, playwright and dissident Václav Havel, became a global celebrity. Entitled The Lion and the Eagle, Czech-American Relations Through the Eyes of Envoys, the debate on Friday brought together 10 current and former diplomats from both countries. One of the speakers was Defense Minister Alexander Vondra, who served as Czech ambassador in Washington between 1997 and 2001.
We had those 20 years of sunshine when our influence in Washington was much greater than our physical strengths. The story of the Velvet Revolution, the role, image of Havel has played a crucial role. But for the U.S., there was also a sense of the mission, a sense of the special mission, you know, what was called, you know, to make Europe whole and free.
All the envoys, in fact, mentioned Václav Havel, the first president of post-communist Czechoslovakia and later the Czech Republic. He was the most important single player in these relations for more than two decades, from his dissident days until he left office in 2003, having secured his country's membership in NATO. Current Czech ambassador to Washington Petr Gandalovich was nostalgic about the fascinating 1990s.
Sometimes it may fill you with such a feeling of envy, maybe even a feeling of void after so many glamorous events that happened during the last 20 years.
Even under communism, the American envoys in Prague talked to Václav Havel. William Lewis was the U.S. ambassador in Prague for 3 years in the 1980s.
July 4th, 1985, as we normally do, had a reception, our July 4th reception, for hundreds of people. We always invited all of Charter 77, and Havel would come. The deputy foreign minister came. I was shaking his hands, welcoming him. He looked over my shoulder and he saw Havel standing. And he said with horror on his face, "That man is here." And he reeled on his heel and left, as did many of the officials with him.
When Ambassador Lewis took office in December 1983, the relations between the United States and the Soviet bloc were at a new low following the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the deployment of Pershing missiles in West Germany. But less than 5 years later, Free Czechoslovakia emerged and Mr. Havel addressed a joint session of the U.S. Congress. On his legendary trip to Washington and New York, he was accompanied by his spokesman Mikhail Jantowski, who returned there as ambassador in 1992.
The 10-plus years that followed under three different U.S. presidents representing both major political parties must be seen as the absolute height of this relationship. What made it so fruitful was not just the extremely close rapport between the top leaders of the two countries, the favorable international climate, or the efforts of diplomats, but the fact that it helped to achieve in practical ways crucial goals of both countries.
For the Czech Republic, this was primarily joining NATO, which happened in 1999. The envoy said relations between the two countries were based on shared values, interests, and history that went back as far as the foundation of Czechoslovakia in 1918. But by the time Czechs joined NATO, a Social Democrat government took office that did not share the enthusiasm of the previous liberal right-wing cabinets. Ambassador John Shetak, who was in Prague between 1998 and 2000, said one of the major dissonances came with NATO's attacks on Kosovo.
Just a few weeks after the NATO accession, I went into the office of the foreign minister, Jan Kavan, and said, your NATO membership is for real. This is not simply a symbolic event. We are now, in fact, NATO is going to lead some attacks, air attacks in Kosovo and Belgrade. This is very controversial among Czechs who had strong connections with the Serbs, obviously, over the years. And it was not easy. And there were questions about whether we really did share the same values.
The Czech-US relations went through a significant twist in the years after the attacks of 9/11, which coincided with the end of Václav Havel's term as president. The Czechs took part in the War on Terror, and the administration of George W. Bush was also planning to place a radar base in the Czech Republic as part of its controversial missile defense project. The plan was opposed by the public, and the Czech government needed something to balance the asymmetric relationship. Czech officials pushed for the abolishment of US visas for Czech citizens, but it took years before the visas were finally cancelled. Petr Kolář was the Czech envoy in Washington between 2005 and 2010.
From one year to here that you are the best ally where you can have a radar, you can host it because you are a very close partner. At the same time, being still in the category of the so-called second class of the EU citizen because of visas. Fortunately, we had a lot of friends, not only here in the US Embassy, but also in Washington. But the acknowledgement and the way how we had to persuade the others, how we need to actually sometime even explain very simple truth, was sometimes frustrating.
Then in 2009 came a setback, as Alexander Vondra put it. The newly elected American President Barack Obama moved his foreign policy focus away from Eastern Europe, a fact that Czech policymakers found hard to digest. But the current U.S. ambassador to the Czech Republic, Norman Eisen, says the change is not for the worse.
I do not believe that in a mature relationship that those tokens, that the engagement ring or the wedding ring that betokens a young relationship, the new and exciting relationship of the post-Samatova Revolutse period. I say this having been married almost two decades myself. You settle into something that is even better, and that is a friendship, a mutual understanding, a shared history of success, a maturity. That's not to say it's not exciting.
Mr. Eisen said Czech complaints about the diminishing importance of the relationship were discontents of success. But his metaphor provoked a colorful reaction from the panel. Alexander Vondra again.
The question was, it was raised whether this mature relationship requires sex or not, and Norm is of the opinion that not necessary. Yes.
Wait a minute, I didn't say sex was not necessary. I said it's different.
Mr. Vondra was considered a staunch supporter of George W. Bush's doctrine in foreign policy. He believes that the Czech-US relations will suffer if both countries don't invest in them.
I think that we do have some obligation to fill the agenda with some sex on the government or the state-to-state level, just because there are the common interests. I do not have any doubts about this. So it's just an obligation to do something here. Otherwise, I am a bit afraid that we can somehow drift apart.
The Czech Republic and the United States still share values and interests in the fields of human rights, the rule of law, and increasingly in civil nuclear power. But without the extraordinary contribution of Václav Havel, Prague has now lost its special relation to Washington.